Ruben, yeah. Who makes the best detective? Sherlock Holmes or a tax accountant?
I'm not sure. Who?
The tax accountant. They find more deductions. Yeah.
Let's jump into the episode.
It's a good one.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Virgin Investors Podcast, where we talk about student investing. Today, let's talk about taxes, why they matter, and why we care. For this episode, I'm here along with Adrian O'Toole.
Thank you, Ruben. I'm happy to be here. I'm a longtime listener. This is my first podcast, but I've enjoyed your previous episodes, so I'm happy to finally be joining you here in person.
I really appreciate that, and hopefully we can make this episode a great one.
I hope so, too. Hope it's first of many.
So, before we really dive in, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. The past year, I was in Buffalo, New York, studying at Madai College. I was studying actuary and data science, but my greater achievement there was I was a member of the men's baseball team, which is something I've had a passion for my whole life, basically.
So you have a lot to bring.
I mean, I like to think so. Hopefully, I can bring some of the stuff I know and have learned and share it with our valued listeners here.
That's awesome. And for this episode, we're really going to focus on income tax. However, if anyone's listening who wants to learn more about capital gains tax and dividends tax, and that's something you guys are really interested in, you could send an email to us, you could DM us on Instagram, and we could look into making an episode for that. But like I said, for this episode, it's going to be revolved around income tax.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could see how a lot of people could think this is boring.
I mean, a lot of the boring stuff's the stuff you need to know, right? So
yeah, that's a really good point. Like, this is, for me, I feel like one of the episodes that is quite valuable. I think all of them are valuable, but this one has...
This stuff's going to be with you all your life, so yeah. Better to learn it now than later.
Have you heard the saying, and it goes like, there's two certainties in life?
Absolutely, I know death exactly. And death and taxes, and then usually they throw in something else to yeah. joke. But
yeah.
Taxes are a certainty, that's for sure.
Yeah, so to start us off, Adrian, what are taxes?
Well, I'll give you the exact definition. Okay. So by definition, they are involuntary fees faced on individuals or corporations and enforced by a government in order to finance government activities. So to simplify that, it's basically a portion of something that a company or an individual has earned, and the government's basically taking it back to benefit the activities that they need to do to excel in and accomplish to better the lives of the society.
That makes sense. And so these government activities would include things like...
To give you some examples, you've got roads, education, libraries, okay. parks, garbage and recycling collection, national defense, and they're actually broken into two separate categories.
Okay.
So federal taxes, these taxes are the same amount for all Canadians.
Yeah.
And national defense, like I previously mentioned, is an example of a federal tax.
Which is something that every Canadian would need.
Every Canadian needs, and yeah. every Canadian okay. pays for it.
That makes
so
sense.
So the second in Canada is the provincial tax, and this goes to the provincial government,
mm-hmm.
and it looks into stuff like health care and bettering secondary and post-secondary education.
Okay, and I know that's similar to the states.
I believe it is, yes.
And we're both on a progressive system.
Yes, now do you want to just elaborate on what a progressive system means?
I would love nothing more. And so the progressive system essentially... in plain English means the more money you make, the more money you pay in taxes.
That seems fair.
Yeah, and it is fair. I mean, if you're making a substantial amount, you should contribute a bit more in terms of taxes.
Exactly. They're not taking everything you made, but
yeah,
if you have the ability to help out a bit more, you do it, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. And so here I have the federal tax brackets and the provincial tax brackets.
Gotcha.
Now, like you were saying, it depends on what province you're in.
We're going to be focusing on Ontario, though.
Yes, right? Because our primary listeners are from Ontario. Like, that's really, that's where we're from, and that's something that I think everyone should know in Ontario.
Exactly, and it's not too difficult to figure it out
if
you're somewhere else.
You could just search it up, and usually you'll get a bunch of graphs that show you this.
Gotcha.
And so to start, and I won't give the exact numbers, I'm just going to round it a little bit 100%. So it's more simple. So for the federal tax bracket, if you make 48K, so 48,000 or 48.5 or less, you're getting taxed at a 15% rate.
Right.
So that one's pretty straightforward. But another thing that you just have to be conscious of, and this one's for students, if you're making something like $12,000 a year, this is not something you even have to file taxes for.
Right. There is a minimum amount required to be eligible to pay taxes. And yeah, that cutoff is the $12,000 that you just mentioned.
Yeah. And like you'd still technically pay taxes, but they're just given right back to you. So really you're not paying taxes in a way. Right.
We'll explain how that works a bit later.
Yeah. And so moving forth with the tax brackets, if you make 48.5 to 97K, you're paying 20.5%, which isn't...
It's a fair increase.
Yeah, like it's a huge jump, but compared to the states, it really isn't that bad.
Right.
And 97 to 150, you're paying 26%. 150 to 214, 29%. And anything above 214 is 33%.
That's 214,000.
Yes.
Yes.
33% to federal tax, which is a huge amount.
Solid number.
It is really. Say the least. It's really just crazy to think about, since not only do you pay the federal tax, you also pay the Ontario or the provincial tax. On top of that. So that's a huge hit to your income right away. So when someone's saying, I'm making $150,000 a year, are they talking before or after tax?
They're usually talking before tax.
And that's when you have to kind of think, well, how much are you taking home?
Still taking more than me, but...
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I'm not taking home that much, but yeah, I mean...
That's the goal.
Yeah, I agree. That is the goal. And so for the Ontario tax brackets, they're a little different, but, right, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they're quite similar in terms of the actual brackets.
Yeah.
So instead of $48,000, it's $44,000 or less, and you only pay 5.05%.
Not as bad on its own, but when you consider that's combined with the federal tax, it still has a significant impact.
Right? Yeah, you're paying like a 20%.
Yeah.
Like
just for that bracket alone.
Yeah, which is crazy to even think about. But moving on, the $44,000 to the $89,000, that's 9.15%. So you nearly double the tax that you pay in that bracket. And then $89,000 to $150,000, 11.16%. $150,000 to $220,000, 12.16%. And anything above $220,000 is 13.16%.
So obviously a lot less than the federal, but it is combined.
Yeah, when you stack those two together. That adds on to those
federal, yeah.
That
hurts.
It really does. And so just looking at the ranges, in Canada, the range is from 15% to 33%. And I'm just talking about the federal tax.
Right.
And for the states, which you're probably more familiar with.
I mean, I haven't paid taxes in either, but, you know.
You're dodging it, eh?
I'm more familiar with it than probably most, so.
Yeah. So what is the range for the states?
For the states, the minimum percentage of taxes that can be paid is 10%, whereas the maximum that they would pay for their federal taxes is 37%.
So it definitely varies. Like
it is a larger range for the states.
Yes. But. And in fact, an interesting fact that we have here is that in 2019, in the states, someone earning about $39,000 pays about 22%. In federal tax compared to in Canada, 15%.
Jeez. So that 7% difference might not seem like a lot, but that adds up real quick.
That's already the provincial tax that you'd pay. So
yeah, they're paying more federal, in federal than us combined between the federal and provincial.
Which is absolutely crazy. And would you agree that that's why, you know, there's more poverty? Or would you say that that's something else in its own right?
I mean, you can't say it's solely responsible, but you have to think it definitely has an impact, right?
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I mean, obviously there must be a bunch of factors playing into that.
Of course.
But just looking at the taxes, Wouldn't you be better off living in Canada then?
I mean, you'd think so, right? Just if taxes are the sole factor, of course. Yeah. But.
And I know a lot of people, and I might be out of line saying this, but what I've seen is that a lot of people think that in the States you pay a lot less for taxes, since in Canada you have the free healthcare, which is one of the big ones.
Right, right. I mean, we can't exactly say that it's free.
Yes. I mean,
there's good. A lot of confusion about that we're going to get into. So,
I mean, we could even have that as its own episode in the future. Like,
yeah, it's very complex.
Like, that is its own.
We're going to try and simplify it today to the best of our ability, but it is definitely more in depth.
Yeah, like, just going back to the tax, because I think that's the,
yeah, let's get back on top.
Yeah, that's the really here. The main important topic is for students. You know, I think a good amount that you could be making would be around $22,000 or $23,000.
Yeah, depending on how much you're working and what your salary is, right?
Yeah, and for me, how I came up with this number, I didn't just like take a guess out of nowhere.
Of course, of course.
I pulled this number from you working 8 months part-time.
Gotcha.
So you're juggling between school and part-time.
And that's probably more realistic for most of our listeners.
Yeah, like you I couldn't see many people working full-time
throughout school. That'd be real tough, yeah.
Like, I know that the year is probably going to be online, so yeah, it's possible.
Even then, I mean, that's still two major commitments, and
yeah,
it's better to go 100% at one thing than to half a 50%.
Yeah, and you fail a few classes, you get behind. You know, I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anyone going full time in school at the same time.
Have you heard of anyone going part time throughout the 8 months?
Yeah, I think that's a lot more common.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I mean, personally, I haven't done it.
I mean, I think that we talked about that. That's something you're intending to do for this upcoming year, though.
Yes, I want to work part-time for the 8 months, and this would be 22 hours a week.
Yeah, and that seems doable.
Yeah, I feel like I can juggle it.
It obviously takes good time management skills, but...
Yeah, especially since it's online, I feel like that frees up a lot of time.
Yeah. And I mean, people do it.
Yeah, like
in regular conditions. But.
Yeah, no, yeah. So I feel like I'm at an advantage because of the online. And then I will work full time for the 4 months break.
Sounds like a good plan.
And so this number comes from, you know, the 40 hours full time a week and the 22 hours part time for 8 months at $17 an hour.
Do you think that's a normal salary that students can expect to make?
I feel like for full time it should be no question. You could probably make $18-19. I know a few people that I talked to, they said they were working, I believe, in Guelph. They had an apartment and they were working full time and I believe it was $19 an hour.
That's solid.
Yeah, so they were, I'm not gonna say they were making a killing, but like, for a student, that's a good
can't really
rate.
Ask for a whole much more than that.
The part-time's a little more difficult.
It definitely varies because there's so many options, right? I think a lot of the standards, if you look at grocery stores and the fast food, the typical ones that you could expect, they're commonly 15, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, I couldn't... Unless you've been working there for a long time, I think
unless
entry
you've
would
promotions.
Be...
Yeah, entry is typically 15, though.
Maybe even 16 if you're an excellent cook.
Right, but for these purposes, let's just stick to the 17 an hour.
Yes, because I think it's possible. Like, I was looking for some employment opportunities. I found tutoring for $17 an hour.
You would be a good tutor.
I don't know if I agree.
Depends on the topic.
Yes. Okay, but now moving forward. Like I was saying, so that $22,000, you'd fall into the first bracket of both federal and provincial tax bracket.
Yes.
So it's not like you'd be paying a substantial amount.
No.
Could you give us an example of, like, tangible numbers?
Sure. So let's say you have a taxable income of $36,000. The income falls into the first brackets of both federal and provincial taxes. So... Let's say I'm making this. I would pay 5.05% of my $36,000 to the provincial tax.
Okay.
Then I would pay 15% of the same $36,000 to the federal tax, so almost 20%, a little over 20% in total, for a total of $7,200 out of the 36 I made.
So it's important to note that it's not like you're paying the federal tax first and then the remainder.
Yeah, no, it's not like you take the 15 off
and then take the 5.
It's 15 of 36 and 5 of 36.
Okay, so it's, yeah, so it's like 20% right off the bat.
Exactly.
Money you'll never see, like, in terms of without deductions or tax credits. No,
that's correct.
Okay. And, you know, when I was doing some research on this, I actually found a good analogy. And it was, think of the tax brackets as buckets, and let me know if you agree, where you fill one bucket up and then when you go to the next bracket you fill that one up, and then the next bracket you fill it up as much as possible.
Right. I think that we've got an example on top that we can refer to that'll clarify the bucket analogy.
Yes,
because it definitely for me makes sense once I use it with some concrete numbers.
Okay, yeah, I could dive right into that right now. So, you know, Adrian's making $36,000. I'm making $56,000.
That tutoring's really getting you some
money. Yeah, it's making a killing for me. So when we're talking about the federal tax, the first $48,000 of my $56,000 is going to be taxed at that 15%.
Right.
And then my remainder, which is about $7,400, so $7,466, is actually being taxed at the next bracket.
Yeah.
So just because I'm above the first bracket doesn't mean that the whole $56,000 is being taxed at that higher bracket.
Right, so we're looking at the percentages as the buckets. That 15%, the maximum that you can have for that bracket is that 48.5.
Yeah.
So then if you can fill that, you're golden. And then if there's more, that's exactly when you need to move on to
and
the next
bracket. And that's what is taxed more. So that's $7,400 at 20.5%, I'm only paying $1,500 on the excess, like the right. surplus. And when you and then you have to obviously add the two. Yeah. And that's when I would get $8,810 in federal tax.
Gotcha.
And then the same thing applies for the provincial tax. And like we said, the brackets are a little different. So the first $44,000 that I fill up with my fixed $56,000 taxable income, that gets, you know, charged or taxed at 5.05%. And that would be $2,200. And then the remainder, so the difference is about $11,000, and that part gets taxed at the higher bracket.
That difference is from the original 56, yes. Subtracting that 44.7 that you just paid off.
Yes, yeah. And then that is taxed at 9.15%,
right.
Which leaves us paying a total of $3,289 in provincial tax. And then you add them together because that's, you know, you pay them separate. Well, it's at the same time, but you pay them separately. They go to different places.
Yeah.
The federal and then the provincial tax.
But they add up.
So. Yes. And the total would be $12,000. About right. $12,000.
And that is the federal and provincial combined.
Yes. So you would be paying 21.6%.
So just under a quarter of your initial earnings.
Which is crazy to think about. Like $56,000 in Canada is a good amount, but I mean if you're trying to support a family, it can start to
that's
get
tough tight. Even if you're keeping that full 56 and you take away 25%, that just it's really difficult, almost undoable if you're looking at a family.
And then that's why, and that segues perfectly into this next little segment, which is deductions and tax credits.
Right.
So these are two very important terms when you're talking about taxes. Like, you'll see them all the time. Like, your tax credit for this, or, you know, this has been deducted, and so on and so forth. So to start, I'm going to just talk about deductions. And a deduction reduces your taxable income. And this gets a little confusing, since at first glance you might think, okay, so if I owe $1,000 in taxes, then this deduction is going to reduce that amount to, let's say, $500.
Okay. Yeah.
But it really doesn't. And here's why. It only reduces your taxable income. So if I made, let's say, $80,000, the deduction would reduce the amount that is being taxed. So maybe it reduces it to $75,000.
Right.
And then, you know, that's what actually decreases the tax that I owe. It's not the deduction directly, but it's just kind of one of the side effects of the deductions. And that's why they're so valuable.
Right.
And the higher income that you make, the more valuable this becomes, since it could even push you down a bracket. Like if I'm making $155,000, let's say it's a $10,000 deduction, that pushes me down.
Right.
The tax bracket. So that surplus of money, I don't have to pay that huge amount, which I believe it was like, what? I want to say
that was 26%, 29%.
And that's why they're so valuable. And that's why a lot of people, you know, they'll use the RRSP contributions.
For those who aren't familiar, RRSP stands for the Registered Retirement Saving Plan. It's common in Canada. So for those of you who are listening across the border, it's just a way to save for your retirement, basically. Yes.
It's one of those tax sheltered accounts that we have. And I know we mentioned it in episode one with Sam. Right.
Of course.
And we haven't really gone back to it. However, you know, once again, if there's enough interest, that's a topic that I would love to talk about.
Right. Basically, this is something that while the money's in this account, it can't be taxed.
Yes.
If I'm correct.
Yes. 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 And then when you take it out is when it's taxed. Right. But hopefully when you take it out, it's when you're retired and you're at a lower tax bracket.
Gotcha. So for me, listening, just using the RRSP as this example, when do you get the deduction? Does the deduction come when you put the money into this account or take it out?
So the deduction actually comes when you put it in.
Gotcha.
So if I'm making, you know, I'm going to go back to the $155,000 and I put $10,000 into my RRSP, I can choose to use that deduction.
Right.
And then when I use that deduction, if I put $10,000, it deducts from my taxable income. And then eventually when I take those $10,000 out, I'll get taxed because it wasn't ever taxed. Like it's money you're putting in before taxes. So it's never been taxed. So when I take it out, it's taxed. But instead of 29%, I'm being taxed at a 15%.
Right. Because it's only taxing that $10,000 that you put into the account. Yes.
So it's a very smart thing to kind of be doing when you're further in your career.
Right. Obviously, this isn't something that students are necessarily going to be worried about.
No.
Just it's an example of how you can maximize the benefits of those deductions.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, the reason why I haven't opened this account is because I'm trying to max out my TFSA. Like for me, that's the priority.
Right.
And then in the future, the RRSP is going to be something that I look to take advantage
and
of.
And that TFSA was also covered in that first episode, if I'm
yes,
correct.
Yes, yes, you are.
You can tell I'm a fan.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I can, Adrian. I like it.
Appreciate it. I like it. Thank you. So we've also got some other ways because obviously for us, RRSPs aren't the ideal way to maximize our deductions. Mm-hmm. So I believe donating to charitable organizations is another thing that can get you those deductions, mm-hmm. and it's probably more realistic for students like us.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's so many, you know, charitable organizations that you could donate to and really make a difference in that. And I think that's its own topic in itself.
Exactly. I mean, you're helping others and then you're helping yourself.
Yeah, and you get a benefit from it.
I mean, hell, everyone wins.
Yeah, and I love that, man. I love how, you know, the government has kind of put this in place.
Exactly.
You know, to incentivize good deeds, really.
Right. Not that you should need it, but hey, if you need the extra push, just think you're getting a little deduction in return.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to think about it.
Thank you.
Now, moving on, we're going to talk about the tax credits. And I think this is more applicable to students.
Right.
Because a tax credit reduces the amount of tax payable. So this is the one that if I owe $3,000, it could reduce that amount to, let's say, $1,000. And there's many, many tax credits that are out there that you could apply for and that you're eligible for. But there's two kind of subsections of tax credits, which are non-refundable and refundable.
Right.
And so to start, a non-refundable tax credit reduces the amount of tax payable, like I said, but you don't get any surplus. And I'm going to explain that. So if you owe $3,000 in taxes and then you get a non-refundable tax credit for, let's say, your tuition, and you wouldn't get such a large amount like this, but let's say it was $3,200. So you would assume, oh, I'd pay what I owe and then I would get that $200 back. However, since it's non-refundable, it would just reduce what you owe to zero, and the $200, unfortunately, you wouldn't get back.
Right. Now, for those of you listening that are like me, you're probably thinking, well, that's not really fair. What if I want to keep that $200? We've got an option there for you, and those are the refundable tax credits. And that's the exact same concept, only in this case, if you have a surplus, you get to walk away with that money. So in the case of the $3,000 that you owe, that tax credit of $3,200 covers that, and then you get to keep that $200 as a bonus.
Which is awesome.
Of course. Who doesn't want $200?
Right? I know. I love it.
So let me just circle back. I know we made that point about the minimum amount of income required to be eligible for taxes, which we said was the $12,000. So we want to clarify, you mentioned that it was something that you don't exactly not pay taxes. Oh, yes. It just kind of cancels each other out. Yes. And this is how it works with these deductions and the tax credits.
Yes.
You're basically, so you pay the taxes, but you'd get a tax credit basically for more or the same amount. And then it basically negates itself, so they don't bother, if I can simplify it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that works pretty easily. And actually you can, I don't know if you've done this, but I just recently have connected my bank account to my CRA account.
I have not. I'll have you do that for me after this.
And it's honestly great. Like, I will get all, like, the tax credits right into my account, like my check-ins account, and it'll show me the exact amount that I've been credited. And so the most common one is the GST / HST tax credit, which I believe for me, and I just got a letter for this actually a few weeks ago saying that I was like gonna get about $300 back in the tax credit.
So it was a good day when you got that letter.
It was a phenomenal day, really.
I don't see how it couldn't be.
I was shocked. At first I thought, you know, they were auditing money from me, and then I turn around and find $300.
One of those rare happy surprises from those government letters.
Oh yeah, man. My mom actually gets very nervous anytime they send me a letter. They think they're, or she thinks they're just going to take my money.
Hey, that's just mothers for you. Yeah. They're always assuming the worst, right? I know. Gotta love them, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so for anyone, if you connect your bank account to the CRA, then you would get these benefits from just having the tax credits deposited right just into your account. Just for our
American listeners or those who aren't familiar, could you just explain what the CRA is? Quickly,
the Canada Revenue Agency, I believe it is.
Right. And so just to simplify, it's the branch of our government that focuses and handles all the tax issues.
And in the States, it's the IRS, right?
Yes.
And I mean, this is, you have your account and it's like your personal account where they have everything on you.
Right.
Like you can check your contribution room for your TFSA. They have your social insurance number. It's all your taxes. It's all the very essential, important details about your life.
Yes.
And do you know anyone who works for the CRA?
I actually just met someone yesterday who works for the CRA. Yeah, it was a little nice cottage getaway. And one of my a distant relative or connection, I should say, has experience working for the CRA, so it was very interesting to meet her.
Yeah, did you guys talk about anything too important?
I mean, she just told me how I could maximize these benefits
That's awesome.
Through filing taxes to get some of those returns.
I would love
to I think that would be a good future episode.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Going more in depth into these benefits.
Yeah, maybe have a guest to kind of talk us through.
Yeah, obviously we're just scratching the surface here, but yeah, you know, that's what we're here. Gain the interest and then go into depth in the issues that people really care about.
Yes, I think that's one of the biggest things that we should kind of state is that, you know, although this seems like it's in depth, like you were saying, this is just the surface of what all these taxes are.
Absolutely.
Like, I can't stress enough that, you know, if you're extremely interested in this, then yeah, you can conduct your own research or you could message us. We could talk about it. And in future episodes, we could have some, you know, some topics that you guys are interested in.
Of course. That's the goal here.
And another point that I wanted to talk about is a T4. And
we got a letter and a number. Let's put them together, say what it means. It's basically a summary of the income that you have earned and the tax that you paid for the tax year in your job.
Okay.
So you get a T4. It's basically, you know, a sheet of paper, a document for each job you have had. And this piece of paper that you need in order to file all your taxes in Canada.
So. Which is quite important.
It's very important.
Substantially important. Well, and I know filing your taxes can be very confusing. However, I do know many people use TurboTax to do this.
And that's just a website, right?
Yes, it's just a website that you can actually just use to do all your taxes. And actually, another app that I really love is called Mint. It helps you track your budgeting and, you know, your expenses, your investments, all of the sort. And they're by the same creator.
Oh, perfect. So nice little shout out to Mint and TurboTax
for yes.
all future tax filing needs.
Yes. And I love both of, you know, the programs, systems that they have going on. And now just another point, and I keep having these points that I want to talk about, but I feel like this one's extremely important because it is confusing. So I want to make, you know, and just to clarify that there's a difference between the income tax, which is what we've been talking about.
Right.
Versus the sales tax.
Yes, huge difference.
Do you want to kind of expand on that?
So sales tax is a consumption tax imposed by the government on the sale of goods and services.
Okay.
This for us is at the point of sale. So when you buy that Subway sandwich, you pay that 13% that all of us Ontarians are very familiar with.
Yes.
When you buy any product, and obviously mm-hmm. that percentage varies based on which province you live in, and I know they've got something similar in the United States.
Okay, yeah, for each state, right?
Yeah, there's obviously tax on the products you buy, unless you're lucky and you get into those tax off sales.
Oh yes, I know actually a lot of companies will offer if you buy cash, then they don't put any tax, which is just an incentive so that they have their cash liquefied instantly and they don't have to, you know, wait for the credit card company to do its thing.
I mean, they're printing it. You might as well use it.
Yes,
But yeah, for many of us, we are so used to using the credit card and the debit card that tax is just something that we've come to live with. HST and the GST for sure, that 13%.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just to reiterate, it's that percentage that you pay whenever you buy a product. That's the sales tax.
Which isn't bad. Like 13%. I mean, over time it is bad, but for us students, like we were saying, that's one of the tax credits that you typically will get back.
Right.
So I think that is one of the, you know, benefits of being young and not making a ton of money yet.
Go ahead, link your bank account to the CRA and start getting those tax credits.
Yes, that would be awesome. And so just to kind of summarize everything we've been talking about, we talked about the tax brackets and how they're similar to the buckets.
Right.
You know, you fill it up, you pay that certain amount, and then you go on to fill the next one.
Great analogy.
I really like that
one. It sticks with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's one of the simple ones that can really resonate with people, I believe. And then we also talked about your income tax. It's just referring to what your income is, not what you spend.
Right.
And the sales tax refers to what you spend, not what you make.
Yes.
And then And we also talked about the deductions and tax credits.
Yes, something very valuable that can really limit the damage that those taxes impose on your income.
So, Adrian, I think this was really just a basic, you know, first look at taxes.
Exactly. Obviously, there's so much more that we can go into in depth on mm-hmm. every topic that we've covered here.
Yeah.
We're really trying to scratch the surface, like you said, find out the stuff people really need and want to know,
mm-hmm.
and then we can go and do that research for them, and they reward us by listening and obviously giving us a great review.
I would love, and that segues perfectly into, you know, just if you guys like the episode, please make sure to leave a 5-star, leave a review, subscribe where you listen to us, And also contact us. I mean, if there's anything you want to tell us, anything you want to ask us, you can always visit our Instagram at virgin.investors. You could DM us there. Let us know what you think. Or you could reach our email, which is virgininvestors@yahoo.com.
And just for that Instagram, it's a capital V and a capital I on investors.
Yes.
I don't know if it's case sensitive. I happen to be a bit of an Instagram virgin myself.
So oh, God.
Just to clarify a little okay. bit.
Okay. Well, you know, as always, if you guys want to read over what we talked about today, we are going to be posting show notes on our new website, which is yet to launch.
Really?
Which is,
do we know when it's going to be launching?
It's going to be launching in the next, I want to say, 2 weeks.
Well, that's now, just exciting for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know when we're going to post this actual episode, but from today's time in 2 weeks. So very soon.
Right. Very That's something soon. To look forward to.
Absolutely.
And yeah, because those show notes will definitely help people visualize. I know we threw a lot of numbers and equations. It definitely simplifies it looking at it to see how those brackets work.
Just being able to see something really helps.
Exactly.
And so, Adrian, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, pleasure is all mine, sir.
Well, see ya.
Take care.